10. We're in Hebrews chapter 12, the 12th chapter of Hebrews, and the verses 2 and 3 are our text, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If I could emphasize particularly the words at the end of the first verse, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It is true that the ancient Greeks and Romans had a great interest in sport in general, but they had a great interest in athletics in particular. In fact, it would be true to say that in some ways sport became a religion for those ancient people. And in many regards, men and women, that is the same today. When we lived in Wales, rugby, the national game, was often referred to as the national religion because of the place that it held in people's lives and because of the devotion that they gave to it. And that would be true, men and women. We're all aware of the fact that to many people, sport, whatever form it may take, football or whatever, sport is a god. It has certainly taken the place of God in the lives of many people. So as far as the ancient Greeks and Romans were concerned, they had a great interest in sport. And that may be true of you as well. There's certainly nothing wrong with sport. Let me just add that and emphasize that. There's nothing wrong with sport. There's nothing wrong for a Christian to be involved in sport, so long as it's given its rightful place, so long as it doesn't take the Lord's place in your heart, and so long as you don't engage on it on the Sabbath day and it keeps you from the Lord's house and keeps you from the service of the Master. But the Apostle Paul, what I want to emphasize to you, the Apostle Paul, the master communicator and illustrator that he was, he used the interest of those ancient Romans. He used the knowledge that they had of sport things to teach them the Word of God and to teach them some great biblical truths. You will know from your own reading of the Bible that there are many references to sport contained within it, particularly the New Testament. There are many references to running, many references to the race. If you think of our text, the end of the first verse, we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. So it's clear what we've been told, the idea that Paul's setting forth is the Christian life, the path that you're on to heaven, it's like a race. It's like a runner engaged in the race. Think as well of what Paul said at the end of his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I have fought a good fight. We looked at those words a few weeks ago when we considered the picture of the soldier. But remember what he went on to say. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. And that's the picture of the runner. The picture changes mid-sentence from the soldier to the runner. The runner on the course. The runner on the track. And he's able to say I'm over the finish line and have finished the course. Think of what Paul said writing to the church of Thessalonica. Maybe these words are true of some person here this morning. Ye did run well. Look at the tense that it's in. Past. No longer the case. You would have to admit, as the year 2000 comes near a close, that there was a time in your life, a time in your experience, there was a time past, as you have attended this church, when you were more on fire for God. When you were on the forefront of the work, you had a deeper burden for souls. You were never missing at the prayer meetings of the church. Ye did run well. If that's the case, what you have to acknowledge this morning is that you've lost ground at very least. Maybe even become a backslider. Maybe become cold at heart. But again, it's the picture, the running. Ye did run well. Think of Paul's words again. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So it's clear, men and women, in many places, In the New Testament, the Christian is likened to a runner, and the Christian life is likened to the race. Think of the Old Testament as well. Those familiar words in the book of Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Can I just emphasize that? Not rush on from it too quickly. Are you a little weary in the Christian life? Have the circumstances worn down your strength and taken away your energy? You feel weak this morning, even as you sit in God's house. Remember what the prophet said, they that wait upon the Lord. There's how you get your strength back. There's how you have it renewed and refreshed. It's in the place of prayer. It's sitting before the Lord, whether that be at home or whether that be in the prayer meetings of the church. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So there's many references in the Bible to the Christian as a runner. Can I emphasize too that the Greeks and the Romans, you had to be a citizen, a Greek citizen or a Roman citizen, to engage in the ancient games. No slaves, no outsiders could participate. They could not run in the race. And so too it is with the Christian life and the race that we're involved in. You need to be a citizen. You need to be a citizen of heaven. In other words, you need to be a child of God. I wonder, is that true of you today? Can I put it to everyone in the meeting? Are you in Christ? Are you a child of the King? Well, we thought a little about the Christian as a child. Did you notice what it said as we came down that chapter? He talked about speaketh unto you as unto children. There's the picture that we last considered. The Christian as a child in the family. Are you in the family? Are you saved today? You need to be a citizen. You need to be a Christian to be able to run in this race. Can I make it clear to you, men and women, we're not running in order to become Christians. We run because we are Christians, because we are the children of God. It's only Christians that are in the race. And the question is not, will we finish the race? There's not a doubt of that. He that has begun a good work in us, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We believe in the perseverance of the saints. The question, men and women, is not, will you finish the race? Here's the question you need to consider carefully and seriously this morning. The question is, how will you finish the race? Will you finish it well? Will you finish it in a way that will bring praise and glory to the name of the Lord? William Cuthbertson, he was a noted American Bible teacher associated with the Moody Bible College and the Moody Church and so on for a number of years. And this was his constant prayer. Father, may we end well. Take that upon your heart today. Let that ever be your desire. It's one thing to begin. The old hymn, it's not the first mile that's so important. It's the last mile. Father, may we end well. F.B. Meyer, the English minister and Bible teacher, said, and he prayed, Lord, let us not end in a swamp. Let us not get bogged down at the end of our days. We want to finish well, men and women, in the Christian life. And if you're going to be a good runner, if you're going to have a good finish to the race, there's some things that you need to give attention to. Let me mention them to you just as quickly as I can. First of all, think of the matter of dedication. You think of the dedication of a runner, the dedication of an athlete. Would we not have to say this morning, thinking of those that prepare for the leg of the Olympic Games, who is more dedicated than an athlete? They're up early in the morning. They're out for the training. They go out in all weathers. They go out in all conditions. They go out in all seasons. You think of the long hours, the hard work that is put into the training and to the preparation. They give up pleasure. They give up their social life. They give up foods, things that they would love to give more time to, indulge themselves in. All of those things are given up. All of those things are set aside because they're dedicated as an athlete and as a runner. Can I ask you, thinking of those things, pleasures, social life, things of that nature, do you give those things up for the cause of God, for the cause of the gospel? The runner's dedicated, brethren and sisters. The whole life of the runner, the athlete, is surrendered to the running of the race. That's the entire focus of their life. And as the Christian runner, we must be the same. If you're going to finish the Christian race well, then you need to be dedicated to Christ. The sad thing is that's not true of every Christian. There are many Christians who have not dedicated themselves entirely to the cause of Christ and to the cause of the gospel. If you're going to finish the race well, what you need to do, my friend, is this. Give your all to Jesus Christ. Being a Christian is not just like being added on. It's not something you just add on now and again. It's not just to be fitted in now and then, whenever you can, whenever it suits you, whenever you feel like it. Being a Christian, men and women, means your life, your whole life, in every part, your life in its entirety, must be surrendered to God and surrendered to Jesus Christ. You think of the words of Paul, writing to the church at Philippi. He said, I press towards the mark. The idea there, the picture again he's setting forth is that of the runner. He's his eye on the finish line. And what he's saying is that he's giving his all. You imagine a runner pushing himself on towards the end of the race. Pushing himself on for the finish line. Putting everything into the race that he's running. And that's the idea Paul's giving. I press towards the mark. Are you like that as a Christian? Holding nothing back on the Lord. Giving your all to Christ. Giving your all to what you do in his service. Are you like God's servant Caleb in the Old Testament? He wholly followed the Lord. There was no part of Caleb's life that he hadn't handed over and given into the hands of God. You think of a runner, first thing every day, maybe at 6 o'clock, some of them even before it, they're out running, they're out in the gym, they're out exercising. Can I ask you this morning, as a congregation of believers, how many of us are dedicated to Christ like that? How many here this morning are dedicated enough to be up first thing, 6 o'clock in the morning, and you spend that first bit of the day in your spiritual exercises, down before the Lord in prayer, opening up the Bible? Remember, those are the spiritual exercises of the child of God. Do you have the same dedication, the same commitment to them that the athlete has? The question, you know, we have to consider, men and women, is this. Is the world more dedicated to their calling? The worldly athlete, the worldly runner. Are they more dedicated, more earnest, more zealous, more sincere in following their calling than you are to yours? The dedication, if we want to finish well in the Christian life. I want you to think as well of the matter of weight. No runner carries excess weight. No runner carries unnecessary weight. There's a saying, particularly with regard to the traveller, travel light. And that's especially true of the runner, of the athlete. They're not overweight. They're not carrying 3 or 4 stone extra. The runner doesn't carry a package on his back or rucksack like those in the army. Even the clothes of the runner, that they're specially chosen, the lightest clothing that is possible. The idea is that too much weight will use up too much energy. It will slow the runner down. It will hold the runner back. The runner, thinking of finishing well, he gives attention to his weight. And the same too ought to be true of the Christian. If you're going to run well, you need to run light. Think of Hebrews 12 verse 1. Think of that first verse. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Isn't that a timely exhortation Lay aside every weight. Don't carry too many burdens. Don't carry too much weight as you run the race. If you do, you'll not finish well. If you carry too much weight, you'll not run as fast. You'll not run as strongly as you ought to do as a child of God. Think of those words. Lay aside every weight. In other words, all the burdens, all the cares, all the troubles, all the anxieties of life. And I've not a doubt, even from pastoral work, I know it to be true. All the worries and burdens carried by many members of this congregation, even at the present time. Think of those words, we often use them whenever something's over and it's settled, a weight off my mind. And maybe you'd like a weight off your mind today. We carry weights, brethren and sisters. Even as Christians, we carry burdens. And they're a hindrance. I want you to see that. Those burdens, in the context, the picture of the runner, they're a hindrance to us, a serious hindrance, as we seek to run well for the Saviour. The Saviour says he gives you a little bit of guidance, a little bit of exhortation, what to do with those burdens. He says, lay aside every weight. In other words, what you're to do is to set them down. You ask, where are we to set them down? Well, we're to set them down with him. Peter, in his epistle, those lovely words, casting all your cares upon him. And I want to encourage you, my friend. Whatever care you have today, whatever worry, whatever trouble, here's what to do as you're met in the Lord's house. You need to cast all your care upon him. Doesn't the psalmist there's a little verse in Psalm 55, it gives the same idea. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. And I want to encourage you to do that today. Whatever burden you're carrying, you cast it upon the Lord. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Jesus knows our every weakness. Here's what to do, brethren and sisters. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You think of another weight that the Christian carries, and that's the weight of sin. Pilgrim, in Bunyan's great allegory, he carried the burden of sin upon his back. And I want you to see, Christian, today, that sin is a weight. Sin is a burden. Sin is a burden that's weighing you down and that's holding you back in the Christian life. And I want to encourage you to have done with it. I want to encourage you to confess that sin. Whatever your sin may be today, you ought to confess it. Remember those words of John's, if we confess our sins. We use those in evangelism. We use those in witnessing. But primarily, the application, as John wrote them, was to the child of God, if we confess our sin. Whatever sin's on your heart, whatever sin is your burden and weighing you down as you run the race for Christ, you confess that and have done with it today. There's another thing I want you to think about, and that's the matter of rules. If we're going to run well and finish well, we need to consider the matter of rules. The runner must pay attention to the rules of the race. He can't run as he chooses. You think of the Olympics, there's a committee. They're responsible for all of the standards. They're responsible for all of the regulations of those that participate. And you have to run by the rules. If you don't run by the rules, you'll lose the prize. You'll lose your reward. There's an interesting story of an American athlete at the 1912 Games in Stockholm. His name was Jim Thorpe. Jim Thorpe won the gold medal in both the pentathlon and the decathlon. But the following year, 1913, he had the gold medals stripped off him. He had to give them back. And the reason was that in 1911, the year before the Stockholm Games, Jim Thorpe had played professional baseball. And that was against the Olympic rules and regulations at that time. In 1984, at the Los Angeles Games, the Olympic Committee decided to give the gold medals back to him again. But it didn't take away from the fact that in 1912, he had broken the rules that were then in place. So I want you to understand that. We need to run by the rules. It's interesting that the Greeks, they had rules for training as well as actually participating. And if you broke the rules for training, you would be disqualified. You wouldn't be allowed to participate. You wouldn't be allowed to be involved in the race itself. So here's something very important to a runner. If he's going to win the prize, get the gold medal, finish the race strongly, he needs to know the rules, and then he needs to abide, and he needs to keep the rules. And so too it is with a Christian. Think of Paul's words to Timothy, if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And that's how we're to live, men and women. That's how we're to run the race. We're to strive lawfully. In other words, you're to run by the rules. You're to run by the laws of the games. You're to run by the laws of the race as they have been set out. And for the Christian, that means that you have to do the will of God. You have to keep the commandments of God. You have to obey God's word in every part and in every area. What the Lord wants is that we be doers of his word. Could I just take the time to ask you, brethren and sisters, are you doing the will of God for your life? Are you doing the whole will of God? Whatever God's will is in its entirety. Are you today able to say you're in the very centre of his will for your life here upon this earth? Paul said, I have kept the faith. That means that he had kept the word of God. He had stood by the word of God. He hadn't broken it. He hadn't disobeyed it. And that's how we want to finish, men and women. I emphasised that to you a few weeks ago, thinking about the soldier. On the day we stand before God, those are the words that every one of us want to be able to say. I've fought a good fight. I've been a good soldier. I've finished the course. I've run a good race. And I've kept the faith. I've stood by the word of God. And I have obeyed it in every part. If you haven't kept the faith, Paul says, you'll not be crowned. Think of that, men and women. You'll not be rewarded. You'll not finish the race as well as you could have done. You'll not bring as much glory to the Lord as it might have been possible for you to have done in your life and in your service. Can I stress to you what that means is not finishing the race well, losing the crown. You'll not lose your salvation. There's not a doubt of that. If you have any worries about that this morning, let me remind you of the words of the Saviour when he said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never, emphasize it, underline the word in your Bible, they shall never perish. You will not lose your salvation, but it is possible, men and women, for you to lose your reward, to lose the prize at the end of the race, to lose the crown. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Not an interesting, challenging, solemn thought. That when you get to heaven because you didn't run the way you should have, disobeyed the will of God, didn't live your life for Christ the way he wanted, when you get to heaven that somebody else could be wearing the crown that ought to have been yours, that ought to have been upon your head. Hold that fast. You need to be diligent, need to be very careful about how you live. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. One other thing I'll mention, brethren and sisters, and that is the prize. Runners think of the prize, and they're thinking of the end of the race and how they're going to finish. They think about the reward, what they will receive at the end. That's what motivates them. That's what keeps them going. Whenever they're stiff, whenever they're tired, whenever they're sore, whenever the pain sets in, whenever the going gets hard, they think of the prize. They think about the podium, receiving the medal, the flag going up, the anthem that's being played, the honour that will be bestowed upon them. And brethren and sisters, you ought to do the same. You think of the prize, that awaits you in heaven. And I want to encourage you to do that at the end of the meeting this morning. What is the prize that awaits us? The prize is Christ himself. Paul said, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things," and so on, "that I may win Christ." Don't we talk in sports terms, competing, competition? We talk about those that win. Well, if you finish well, my friend, remember, keep your eyes on the prize, that I may win Christ. The Savior's our prize. We're going to be with him. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be with Christ forever. We're going to hear his voice. We're going to see the wounds in his hands, the love that he had when he died in our place. We're going to hear those words from his lips, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So I encourage you, I exhort you today, if you're a little tired in the race, if you're a little weary, if the pain is setting in, if you're feeling the going a little tough, here's what to do, brethren and sisters. Keep your eyes on the prize. It'll encourage you, it'll help you, it will motivate you just to press on in the Christian life. You think of those words that we read, if you look at them, Hebrews 12 verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Here's what we need to do, brethren and sisters. Here's one of the reasons we come week by week to the Lord's house. We don't come to think about ourselves. We don't come to focus on any earthly man. We come to consider him, to think about Christ. And I want you to lift up your eyes a little this morning. I want you to think about the Savior. I want you to focus your gaze, your attention upon him today. Remember what the Bible says about Moses. It says that he endured. Think of all the trials, all the burdens, all the pressures, all the difficulties. Who ever faced difficulties and complaining and criticizing and opposition as Moses did, the man of God? How did he continue to the end, men and women? Well, the Bible tells us he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he was able to keep going for this reason, that through it all, he kept his eyes upon Christ. He kept his eyes firmly fixed upon the prize that awaited him when the race was over and when the journey was done. You think of verses 2 and 3, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I want you to see it, men and women. He's there at the finish line. He's there already. And he's waiting for you. And what he's doing is he's encouraging you on in the race. And I want you to think of that, not just today, but remember it every time you get a little tired, every time you get a little down, get a little discouraged, every time you get a little weary in the race. Here's what to do. Consider him and look on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'll say this to you as a close. At the race, there's a crowd, and there's a little reference to the crowd even in our passage this morning, saying we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That little word "also," does that not indicate that he's still thinking there of the picture of the games, the athlete, the race, the competition? And he's referring back as well to chapter 11. So great a cloud of witnesses. And I want you to think about that. That's a very interesting portion. If we were to ask the question today, and it's often asked, do those in heaven know much about what goes on upon earth? And we reckon they do. They're looking down. Heaven's just like the grandstand. And they're looking down from that lofty position. They're looking down from the grandstand. And they're looking down at you as you run the race. And I pray that might challenge you a little today as well. Loved ones, relatives, friends that have gone before, that they're looking down and they're watching you. They're watching your participation. They're watching your performance in the race as you seek to run it for Christ. We're compassed about. Isn't it a sobering thought? We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. But I'll mention this, thinking more of those that are around us here on earth. And in a sense, we're the crowd as well. We're the crowd of the race. We're watching others as they run the race. And what the crowd does is they cheer. And they cheer to give a little bit of help. And they give a little bit of motivation. And they give a little bit of encouragement to those that are out on the track that are running the race. And I want to encourage you to do that. Not just be the runner, but be the crowd as well. You can look around seeing others in the race, and you can see they're a little discouraged. You can see that they're a little weary. You can see the circumstances that confront them and that discourage them. Well, here's a little what we ought to do as Christians. We're to help them. The Lord wants you to cheer them on. Cheer them on from the sidelines. Maybe somebody you can see in church today as you're making your way out and you know that times are a little difficult for them. What they need is that little bit of encouragement. They need a little cheer from the sideline, a little word, a timely word, even from your lips. So the Christian is a runner. And I encourage you all, brethren and sisters, here's what we need to set our sights upon, to run well and to finish well, to finish the race in a way that is to His glory and to His honour. Let us run with patience the race that is set before.